We're live. Good evening, everyone. I would like to call the October 10th, 2022 meeting of the University City City Council to order at 6:30. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilmember Clay.
Present.
Councilmember Klein.
Here.
Councilmember McMahon.
Here.
Councilmember Cusick.
Here.
Councilmember Smotherson.
Here.
Councilmember Hales is excused. Mayor Crowe.
Here. Thank you very much. For the approval of the agenda, first item, it will go to the city attorney, Mr. Mulligan.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. With respect to agenda item M3, that's Bill 9488, the developer has requested three relatively minor changes to that bill, and the city clerk has made those changes to the official version of Bill 9488, subject to your approval. The first is in the fifth whereas clause, the words lot consolidation have been changed to final plat. With respect to section 3, paragraph 1, in the second sentence, the words and the landscape plan dated July 15, 2022 have been deleted. And then lastly, in section 3, the third paragraph, third line, the words and resident have been deleted. So that is, those changes have been made to the version which was in your packet. And if there are no objections to that, if the council decides to first request a first reading of 9488, it will be with those changes I've just described.
Thank you, sir. Any other changes to the agenda? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the agenda as presented? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no proclamations this evening. You have before you the minutes of September 27th, 2022. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. Smotherson. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Mr. Cusick.
Thank you, Mayor Crowe. I will be abstaining from that vote as I was not here that evening.
Thank you very much. Any other comments? Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. We have no appointments. We have no swearing in. For those of you who have joined us, we always welcome citizen participation. We have it both at this time and then later in the agenda. You may always speak on agenda items or speak on non-agenda items. If you would like to speak, there are sign-up sheets over by the door. You fill them out, place them in the bin, and the city clerk will collect them and bring them forward. When your name is called, you please come to the mic. You have a time limit of 5 minutes, and you give your name and address. For the first citizen participation, we have Diane Bonds. And there's a green button at the bottom. If you'll push it, then the light, green light will come up. There you go. Thank you.
Hi, good evening. My name is Diane Bonds. I reside at 8665 Spoon Drive. And I have a question regarding the Costco and the redevelopment by Olive and 170. And wanting to know if you're planning a further movement towards Spoon Drive. I'm not interested in selling or moving, but that was one question. My second concern was I live two doors from the creek, which has not been cleaned in a while. And my concern is due to the flooding we recently had in your city, that we might get it there. So is there any way that we can get the trees trimmed and that creek cleaned up?
We appreciate your comments. And normally there's not a give and take between the council and the citizen. Normally it's the city manager or one of his staff will be in contact with you to answer your questions for you.
And thank you for giving me this opportunity.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I believe our next request to speak is from Carolyn Horth. And if you will push the button at the bottom, then it will give you a microphone and give your name and address. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Carol Horth. I live at 1135 Birch Lane. And obviously by my street name, you will know that I was involved with and suffered from the flood the end of July. I'm concerned that, do I need to continue to hold the screen button while I speak? No. Okay. I'm concerned that we have not gotten a complete list of the homes. I was told that that was an old list, and I wondered how it got to be an old list since I've been on that street for 24 years, and they're all the same properties on Birch Lane. So I was concerned as to how there was an old list, and an old list was published, and it says 24 homes. Well, if I know there are more homes on Birch Lane than were included, I'd like to know when we anticipate seeing that complete list, and also when we might anticipate getting some information. I know the city has gotten a fund amount from the state, and I'm wondering when we might have some perspective on the next step coming to fruition. And I'm not asking anyone to, you know, pick numbers out of the air. I'd like to know factually when we might expect that, because all of my neighbors are, myself included, are wondering, what do we do next? How long do we wait till we have some information? So that is a significant concern. And the fact that all the houses were not on there, some people were extremely upset to think that they might be residing in a house on a street where they had three neighbors remaining. So the fact that the list was published and it wasn't accurate is pretty upsetting. Also, as a resident on the flooded area, we have had no communication from the city. Our communication has all come via media, which is not necessarily accurate. So it would be nice to actually see some documentation from the city to tell us some idea of what's going on. Granted, I know that many things are out there and you don't have control over all of them, but we have no concrete information. We just know what the media says. And, you know, some days I believe it, some days I don't. So when my property is in that limbo situation, it's difficult. Also, there is some project that the city is working on Del Mar East, and I think it's the end of Del Mar towards Skinker, and I really am not aware as to what that project is, and I would like some information as to what that is. I know there was a discussion in the two board meetings ago about dollars for that project. There was no statement in that meeting when I was Zooming it as to what that project was. So given that, you know, those are my tax dollars being spent, would be nice to have an idea what that money is going toward. And my pet peeve, I'll admit it, is the tax abatement that is being handed out. I know there's supposed to be a balance of the tax abatement versus the money that it brings in, but there's also all the infrastructure that the city pays for. And I'm not always certain that maybe we get a real bang for our buck. And so I know that, you know, the city is handing out tax abatements. I know most cities do. I understand that, but I think we need to be a little more cautious about it. And also, I think there's some move to maybe replace City Hall, get another building or do something to it. And standing here tonight, it's absolutely gorgeous. I know we had to come the back way and get the elevator up, but I still think we should do all that we can to maintain it and use it to its best advantage, and certainly not tear it down or leave it sitting vacant in our community. We have enough buildings sitting vacant around the community. So there are my statements for the evening. Thank you for letting me speak. And thanks for the work that you do. I'm going to try to be a better participant and become more aware of what's going on in my community. Yeah, but I do appreciate all your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As we move forward, just I think I can speak for all of my colleagues that there is no movement afoot to abandon City Hall. There never has been, nor while this council is sitting here, will there be. However, we do have our police department in trailers, and there is a desire to give the police a permanent home, which is the building behind us, not City Hall. Matter of fact, money is put in place to help maintain City Hall. So with that, we can move forward with the public hearing. We have public hearing for easement vacation of public walkway between 511 and 519 Westview Drive. I will open the hearing at 6:41. And we have, there were no written comments prior to noon today. And I believe there's no one that has signed up to speak. Am I correct, Madam Clerk?
That is correct.
With no one here to speak, we will close the hearing at 6:41. We'll now move forward with the consent agenda. Oh, and by the way, I apologize, Ms. Horth, Dr. Wagner will be getting back with you through the city manager for the questions that you'd asked about regarding the flooding. I apologize. I had a note here to get that to you. And he's sitting in the back of the room, and I'm sure either at the end of the meeting or in the near term, he will get with you. We'll now move forward with the consent agenda. On the consent agenda, you have six items. Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented? Motion made by Mr. Cusick. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. McMahon. Is there a discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Mr. Rose.
Mayor Crow and council members, I would ask that the mayor and council publicly recognize those employees that exceeded expectations in their performance during and after the historic flood that occurred on July the 26th. I believe I have our human resources director with us, Amy Williams. And if Amy could come up and facilitate having the department directors and then the respective staffs come up for recognition. But before she gets to that, and with all of them here, I just want to say how proud I am of them. You know, I know that there were many rescues that happened on the 26th. Thank God I wasn't one of them. I almost was, but wanted to say just how appreciative I am for the work that you do. But not just the first responders, also those that did the purchasing, especially for the emergency equipment, those that were cleaning our buildings. It really takes a team effort in order for us to have effective responses and to provide high quality services. So I just wanted to publicly recognize all the employees and say how proud I am to be able to lead them. Ms. Williams.
Yes, Honorable Mayor and City Council, we'll try to get them out of here before there is another emergency or call, but we will begin. We had a lovely employee luncheon the Friday before last where many accolades and recognition was given out. Tonight, we're going to really focus just on the flood. And as you see, it took an army. So I'm very excited to present to you and to the entire city some of the faces and names that it took to bring some of the Sioux City greatness kind of back to where we are after the recent historic flood. So I will present them in order. There's four or five directors and chiefs that are going to come up. If you've received your certificate already, we just ask that you come up, maybe shake a couple hands and we'll take a picture if you feel so comfortable. And then I will start in the order that they were nominated. So I'm very happy to see the majority of this team present, the facilities and IT team who report to Ms. Dawn Beasley, who has said she could not make it this evening with the previously scheduled event. But she was the very first one to jump at the chance to get to recognize her staff. And for those duties, I will call Ms. Brooke Smith to the front. Brooke Smith, as you know, is the Deputy City Manager and Director of Economic Development.
Good evening. So since Dawn could not be here today, she did ask me to stand in on her behalf. She nominated the entire facilities team, noting that the facilities team has gone above and beyond to get our buildings back to normalcy after the recent historic flood. Their attention to detail, safety, and sanitation is greatly appreciated. Their names are Daniel Carter, Jim Burkemper, Stephen Bernard, Michael Green, Ricky Bish, Ricky Chambers, and Antonio Tony Bracey. Okay, our next person for IT was actually nominated by many people in the organization, Mike Carlin. Mike works tirelessly and graciously to ensure continued successful operations of the teams during very chaotic times, especially after the recent historic floods. Mike, if you would come forward.
We knew where to find you. All right, next up, I would like to ask Mr. John Wagner, the Director of Planning and Development, to provide an overview of his award recipients. Among several other duties, John oversees code compliance and a very busy front office clerical staff.
Thank you, Amy. I'd like to nominate the entire Property Maintenance Division for their diligence in continuing to perform their everyday scheduled inspections and duties, and in addition to taking time to juggle the required condemnations throughout the city. And though we are still not done, I'm very grateful for our staff and all the effort that they put forward, as well as the patience that they displayed with residents and owners that were pretty distressed and in need of direction. Those folks, I don't believe any of them are here. I believe so anyway. Mr. Dennis Stringfield, Jim Blizzard, Rachel White, Ebony Haggins, Mike Luong, Cherie Young, and Mr. Tim Scott. And also for the clerical staff, this is important as well. This community was one of the hardest hit communities by the flood, and the clerical staff once again provided outstanding services. These folks continue to provide courteous service, even when customers are frustrated, demanding, and at times pretty tough to deal with when expressing their frustration. And they've been through a tremendous amount as well. The volume of permits and the demand for inspections doubled during these times, but the clerical staff worked diligently to meet these demands. There are three of them, one of whom, Barb Mathis, could not make it this evening, but the other two, I'm glad, are here. Ms. Rhonda Young. And Ms. Cynthia Zumwalt.
Next up, we'll try to get these guys going. As you see, it takes an army. Chief Hampton, come to the front, please, to recognize your team and the many tasks they fearlessly completed on that day and since. These men and women definitely answered the call, and the phones were ringing off the hook, so we also are recognizing dispatchers as well.
Good evening. Good evening. What I can say is the eye of the storm comes upon us sometimes when most of us get to go to sleep, relax, not worry about it. I can tell you we received over 2,000 calls for service that one particular night, starting at the time of the storm. We're talking 2:30 in the morning. So the rain, the predictions, they were not successful from the Doppler, from the National Weather Service. And I applaud all of these men and women, dispatchers, regular employees that are non-commissioned, as well as these commissioned officers that you see back here, the fire, along with the police service. So thank you all for that. And I do want to recognize a lot of these officers and dispatchers that came today. Now, some of these employees have already received their certificates. So let me do call Ms. Chantel Trevino to the front. I will read now some of the other dispatchers that were present that night. Janae Claiborne, she's actually working on shift right now. Janae Claiborne, Cassandra Reed, Robin McIntosh, and let me recognize one of my personnel who's no longer a dispatcher. She was a senior or a lead dispatcher for PASS. She's our quartermaster and she's our evidence custodian as well. That is Ms. Deshauna Price. Would you please come to the front? She was here. I did see her walk out with the mullet. So thank you, Deshauna, for your efforts. Let me move on to the officers that were. Let me be remiss. Let me do mention of Miss Robin McIntosh, who also was present as a dispatcher for those 2,000 calls. Starting with the officers on duty and some that chipped in that came to duty. That is Lieutenant Jesse Meinhardt. Would you please step up front? There will be Sergeant Reginald Hope. Please step up front. We had an officer, Thomas Corney, who is now retired after 30 plus years of service. So I applaud him as well in his efforts. Officer Theodore Jackson, please step up front. Officer Rolandis Woodland, would you please step up front? Officer Joshua Mosley, please step up front. Officer Louis Bruno, please step up front. Officer Kim Douglas, please step up front. And for the few officers that are not here, I will continue with names. Officer Joshua Steigers, we appreciate his efforts that night as well. Officer Anthony Bradley, please step up front. We do want to recognize, and I'll say this to the end, that's one of the civilians. Sergeant Terrence Lott, was present, and let's give him a hand, please. Officer David Cope, please step up front. We have Officer Jeremiah Belcher. I believe he's not in attendance, but let's please give him a hand. Officer Jake Goldstein, let's please give him a hand. Officer Kyle Giamacco, please give him a hand. And these last three, we can give them a hand collectively. We're talking Jamisha Howard, Kelly Ricketts, and Stephen Jones. Let's all give those three a hand. I would like to ask the remaining of the University City Police Force, please step up front. If you could step up front for a picture, a lot of times we get asked, where was some of the footage from these save lives or the emergency incidents? I can tell you they were underwater. So specifically these body camera pieces of equipment that we have on, it did not work underwater. So specifically, we tried to retrieve as much data as we could to recognize these men and women and their heroic jobs and saving lives. I can tell you the confirmed deaths, none here in University City. There was a total of 2 for the entire St. Louis region. So thank you all for your efforts.
All right, thank you, officers, dispatchers, and civilians. We will now bring up a small team represented by Ms. Paula Battle. We would be remiss if we didn't talk about the finance team. Ms. Paula Battles, if you'd like to come up just representing the finance team. And of course, we couldn't make any of the emergency purchases during the flood without them. So thank you, Ms. Paula, for representing the finance team. Second to last, we have Chief Henson. If you could come forward to recognize the brave men and women that sacrificed so much to assist this city day in and day out, especially as it related to the flood on that day and since. Thank you.
Good evening. Thank you all so much for the opportunity to recognize our employees. In the early morning hours of July 26, 2022, University City received an unprecedented amount of rainfall, leading to severe flooding throughout the city. Over the next several hours, the members of the University City Fire Department and Police Department responded to multiple persons in need of rescuing from rising floodwaters. This required every member of the on-duty fire and police crews to put themselves in harm's way by entering the chest-deep running water. The efforts culminated in the rescue of a child trapped in a basement, which was flooded within inches of the floor above. One story from that night to just kind of sum it up is one of our gentlemen went out to check a car that you could just see the roof of that had just floated in. And he's standing just a little over chest deep and he comes back out of the water. And I said, what have you got? He said, I really don't know. An adult groundhog swam up to him and started crawling up his side. So he come out with this groundhog. He's like, what do I do with it? I said, find high ground in a bush and give it a home. So he did. So I mean, even the wild animals were more scared of the flood than there were people that night. So, so in recognitions of their actions to protect the lives and property of the citizens of University City, we would like to recognize the following members of our department. Battalion Chief Joel Myers. Captain William Grunler is not here tonight. Captain James Cage. Private Tim Hughes.
Private Rob Herrick. Private Taylor Jordan. All right. Private Maurice Williams and Private Aaron Moon, I'm sorry, are running calls right now. These guys, this is also the on-duty crew tonight. So Private Zach Heberly. Privates Richard Black and Ryan Dorsey are all out on calls right now also. So Private Josh William. Wilson, I'm sorry, Wilson. There are two more that are not on the list I want to recognize, and that's my two deputy chiefs. They come in that night. We were here. We were in the mix with everything. And again, they are more than willing to give these guys all the credit, but they were right out there in the middle of it and just as deep in it as everyone else was. It's Deputy Chief Gary Wilmoth and Fred Kramer.
Come on.
And last but not least, we want to call Darren Dunkel to the front, who currently oversees both parks, rec, and forestry, as well as public works, for the countless hours that his many teams spent out and still spend out recovering today.
Thank you. I want to thank our men and women who work in parks and public works, forestry, for their tireless efforts and what they did with the cleanup from the flood. It's a daunting task. They spent over a month and a half out on the streets picking up debris from individuals' homes and from businesses, as well as working out of facilities that we lost as well in those cleanup efforts, and trying to replace vehicles and assess parks while still trying to keep up our level of services that we have ongoing. Tonight, first, I want to address the park side of things. I have two individuals here tonight. First, Todd Strubhard, who is the Deputy Director of Parks Maintenance and Operations. And I want to thank him. He's been my right-hand man throughout this process of boots on the ground out in the field. And without his efforts on leading not only the parks, but assisting on the public works side, we wouldn't be able to be where we are today. So I want to thank you, Todd, for your the other individual I want to recognize tonight is Mike Warmbold. He's our supervisor of parks operations. Mike was very vital in the operations as well as overseeing the parks cleanup, identifying damages, trying to keep the crews motivated and on target, as well as, you know, working with the facilities and vehicles that were lost in the flood. So I want to thank Mike for all of his efforts and hard work and leading our teams out in the field. Unfortunately, the rest of our crews on parks couldn't make it here tonight, but I'd like to read off their names. And under the Parks Department, we also have forestry and fleet involved here too. Tom Brushwood, who is our fleet manager. Janet Carter, who's my executive secretary. Richard Collins in forestry. Zach Gant in parks. Rick Green in parks. Al Hopkins, forestry. Jacob Kaiser, forestry. Mike Lavender Parks, Mike Murphy Parks, Dwayne Reed Parks, Don Ryan Parks, Brian Stroutman Parks, Juan Taylor Parks, and Brandon Williamson in the Parks. On the public works side of our operations, which includes sanitation and streets, as well as engineering, these individuals also helped out immensely in the flood cleanup, and not only in the cleanup efforts like the parks and forestry have, but also on the engineering side of assessing bridges and streets and doing other types of assessments in that area. Also trying to keep up with the sanitation, not only with the debris pickup, but trying to stay on schedule, picking up the regular trash that was greatly affected. We had multiple trash vehicles that were damaged through the flood as well. Also on the clerical side and help running the office operations tonight, I have DeMarco Williams that is here. He dealt with Mr. Williams helped out with, the numerous phone calls, complaints, questions, just trying to keep me straight, all those sorts of things. So I appreciate all your efforts. I do not see anybody else here on the public works side, but I will read off the individual's names here. Shawnee Blanks, Orlando Bolden, John Brown, Chris Connor, Antoine Cotton, Ron Dade, Josh DeWitt, Jeff Douglas, Rama Inslee, Stephen Green, John Houston, Lisa Johnson, Dennis Luckett, Anthony Polk, Maurice Posley, Darren Stewart, Jeff Suttle, and Walter Wilkins.
To everyone again, thank you very much for the dedication you have to keeping all of our cities safe and moving. And if there's any indication that it takes a village, this is it, because we had quite a village. So to all of you again, thank you to your families that are here. I know you're very proud of the folks who kept everyone safe and kept our city moving. So to all the families, thank you for your sacrifice as well. You have before you now Resolution 2022-12, Fiscal Year 2021-22 Budget Amendment Number 4. Is there a motion to approve? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Bill number 9487. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Cusick. Madam Clerk, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9487, an ordinance vacating and surrendering a public walkway between 511 and 519 Westview Drive.
Thank you very much. We now have bill number 9488. Who would like to introduce? Mr. Smotherson. Madam Clerk, may we have the first reading?
Bill 9488, an ordinance approving a final development plan for phase two of the proposed market at Olive Development located at 8630 Olive Boulevard.
Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to the council reports and business. Do any members of council have a report to make under this section of the agenda? Hearing none, we will move forward to our second round of citizen participation. We have one citizen who has requested to speak, and that is Ms. Erin Ginsburg. Please move to the podium, hit the button, and give us your name and address.
Hi, my name is Erin Ginsburg. My address is 430 West Point Court. And Honorable Mayor, Council Members, and City Manager, I'm here with a Happy Kitty update. On Sunday, October 2nd, UCity's TNR volunteers partnered with OpSpot and the Green Center to host this year's pet vaccination clinic. We provided accessible and affordable vetting opportunities for our neighbors' companion animals, including 31 rabies shots that were given with St. Louis County tags and certificates of vaccination for only $15. Canine distemper shots, 22 of those were given. Feline distemper, 2 given. Microchips pre-registered, 6 were implanted. UCity's TNR volunteers remain busy trapping, neutering, vaccinating, and caring for community cats at no cost to UCity taxpayers. We're preventing litters of unwanted kitties, reducing feline fighting, yowling, spraying, and other nuisance behaviors. We're coordinating with local rescues, helping more than 70 friendly kitties get adopted. Unfortunately, community cat food, water, and shelter continue to spark misunderstandings between our volunteers and code enforcement. UCity's TNR volunteers respectfully request that Section 210.130 of our municipal code be amended to add that providing food, water, and shelter to the list of permitted acts. Thank you for your service to UCity.
Thank you very much. We'll now move forward to council comments. Are there members of council who have comments for this evening? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn? Motion made by Mr. McMahon. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Klein. Is there a discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you very much for joining us this evening.